different from what we do every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, not everyone is able to reach such a status. Mm-hmm. But at least you can dedicate some of your timings to your salat and develop the quality of your salat like him, okay? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, now, the case is that, can a person reach such a status without salat?
No.
Or such a high spiritual status without salat? If it was so Prophet Muhammad could do so.
Definitely.
That was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely. Okay? Or the infallible Imams, Shiite infallible Imams, okay?
Yep. Yes.
So, why Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, on the day of Ashura, in the middle of the war, has to stop the war for salat?
Mm. Yep.
There must be something over here. I mean...
Yes.
There must be something over here.
And when we speak about spirituality, it's not just through salah. Uh-huh. Example, when we see in the Prophet's life, the Prophet would go, he would say, Assalamu alaikum, ya Ahl al-Bayt al-Nubuwwah. Example, at the door of Amirul Mumineen, he would go to the masjid, to the mosque, he would pray, he would answer the questions, and then he would come back to his house.
Okay.
And the quality, like the way he would act in his house is also a lesson for all of us. Like, spirituality is not just through salah. Spirituality is in speaking in a beloved manner, in a better manner, in a good manner with our family members.
Okay.
A beautiful look, a smiling face towards our parents, towards our spouse, towards our children carries spirituality in it, if and only if we understand. Example, changing diapers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would definitely give us spirituality. Example, giving them bath, okay, to our kids, to our toddlers, example.
So
everything
that it is not
has spirituality.
So that it is not an individual experience. Most of these new fake mystical movements all across the world very much focus on the individual progress rather than the collective ones, okay? So whenever they are out of their classes, they go to their own, okay?
Yeah, as I said, it's a... You know, what surprises me, and it is amazing according to my perspective, is that the most spiritual man on the planet was the Prophet of Islam.
Yes.
And the least or non-existent level of showmanship you see in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But in these fake spirituality leaders, you see showmanship.
You know what's the word that is very much repeated in their words? You.
Yeah, the individuality.
You, okay? You.
Yeah, you're the center
me,
of everything. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. And it is a kind of worshipping your own desire and ego. But the other side is that these people, they put an act on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not serious. You know that they have a team of cameraman and everything, and it's just fake.
I know
what you mean. Prophet, he would not do anything to show that I'm spiritual.
Yes.
In fact, he was the most normal person on the planet. I mean, there are in a hadith that if you would enter into the circle of people and there was the Prophet, you would not recognize
this
one.
That's why the people believed him, okay?
But then, certain occasions, like for example, the spiritual depth and profoundness of his gaze, for example, or the salat, or things like that, people would realize, no, this is different.
Or Mi'raj experience, for instance.
So you see, spirituality is not about you going here and there and telling people, I'm spiritual. This is fake. You lead a decent life. You get empowered by your connection to Allah in order to be nice to people and to manifest the names of Allah. This is something else we have not talked about. Spirituality in Islam is about the human, perfect human being becoming the mirror of Allah on earth.
All right.
Khalifatullah.
Yes.
So you manifest divine attributes, manifest, and you do it through obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true spirituality. This has some core in it. But then, you put an act on and you become an actor and no, this is not working.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Another differentiation between true mystics and the false mystics is that the false ones are always want to be on camera. They want to be filmed. But the true ones are always escaping from being seen, okay?
They genuinely hate it.
They genuinely hate it, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even the Prophet would walk a few steps behind his sahaba, the companions, and if someone would ask him, they would he would say, because I don't want to show myself that I am the leader, at the front way, like to a kind of show off, basically.
May Allah help us to be on the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take good role models, and we must take care about satanic temptations a lot, because one of the things that Satan will get in is from your religion. I mean, absolute religious teachings, you know.
False ideologies.
Yeah, he will get from over there. May Allah protect us from temptations of Satan too. Thank you very much, Sheikh Hussain, Sheikh Latifi, and Sheikh Liaga for a nice elaboration. The difference between the spiritual developments and religion, which one will help us more in today's world. It was very kind of you. Dear listeners, to another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except that يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها that room. Don't echo. Though you feel so cold, abandoned and alone, don't echo.
Give me your hand, my brother. I will not let you go. Please don't look back, my sister. I swear I hear your call. Give me your hand, my brother. That's where I hear your call.
Little boy asks away,
where are the streets I used to play?
Don't let go. Don't you know we're one when you hurt?
Tanha nahi
sun, a shining jewel right in the heart of the country. It's an enchanting and beautiful city with an ancient civilization. It's a destination filled with wonders.
Kashan runs along the edge of the Great Desert, a four-hour drive that's 250 kilometers southeast of Tehran. The city is a delightful and amazing destination that has managed to preserve its traditional architecture and urban design. Excavations have revealed that Kashan was one of the primary centers of civilization in the prehistoric ages. The first destination that lures you in once you reach Kashan is the impressive Fin Garden.
The Fin Garden is a cultural and historical site located right in the heart of Kashan. The sound of the water among the birds and the trees, as well as all the important events that have taken place in this garden, make this site a popular and beautiful must-see destination.
Covering an area of more than 2 hectares, this garden was built back in the Safavid era in the 16th century. The garden contains numerous cypress trees and combines architectural features of the Safavid, Zandia, and Qajar periods. Kashan is mostly known for its gorgeous and one-of-a-kind architecture. The city showcases some of the best traditional architectural sites in the country. The traditional houses scattered around the city of Kashan are an epitome of grandeur, elegance, and splendor, a direct result of thousands of years of adaptation to the dry desert summers. Efficient yet technical houses that reflect the craftsmanship of the architects of the time.
Kashan is a very beautiful city. I like the architecture and people so.
Architects used bricks for the construction of the main structure, while mud and straw were used for insulation and the facade. Artistic designs like mirror work were used for making the inner spaces, especially the ceilings, look more beautiful. Wind catchers, cellars, and basements were also constructed to make sure there are areas inside the building with cool and pleasant temperature during very hot summer days. During the recent years, these historic houses have been revived, restored, and converted into hotels, residential, and cultural complexes for those who visit Kashan every year. The Omeri House was one of those historic sites that caught our attention. The house was hosting the French Cultural Week, meaning to bring both countries closer in the field of arts and culture. We took a look around, marveling at the splendid architecture and at the same time enjoying the presence of the French and Iranian artists.
Spoon to eat soups. You have a nice soups, vegetable soup, meat, food, and you have a beautiful plate to eat in Iran, like carapacha.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my first time in Cachan. I already went in Finney Garden. This is a lovely place. It looks like paradise. I love flowers, tree, fountain water. Here in Cachan, people are so nice, so lovely. And the food is also very delicious.
The Armory House was built during the Zand era in the 18th century for the governor of Kashan.
Ameria is a real nice place, and you feel really calm, relaxed. The most important for me is people. They are so kindly. They are so respectable.
Just imagine living in a beautiful grand house like this one. 85 rooms, several courtyards in 9,000 square meters of space. It really does sound like a fairy tale, doesn't it?
The house is beautifully decorated with the smallest of details. The gorgeous mirror works, the delicately carved plaster works on the walls and ceilings, the colorful windows that draw the warm winter light in. Everything about this place is timeless and captivating. Some things can't be expressed in words. Things like love, honor, culture, art, peace, and everything that binds us together as humans, despite our race and the language we speak. Kashan is where the heart speaks. Hoda Lezgi for Iran.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned in Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. So nice to have you in this moment. We start off this hour's programs with To My Brother. The program examines the universal principles contained in the teachings of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and their importance for contemporary individuals and societies. Next up will be our radio productions feature. And we round up this hour's programs with Let's Recite the Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for this hour.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. And as history is a testament, and furthermore both friend and enemy have testified openly, Imam Ali alayhi salam was not tainted with any vices, unlike so many others who surrounded him and opposed him. He had a perfect faith in Allah, and so he acted according to his belief. Imam Ali alayhi salam was a lantern of guidance in his time, where the sunnah of the Holy Prophet had begun to be forgotten. Yet Imam Ali remained steadfast on the path of the pure Muhammadan Islam, like a solid, unshakable fortress in the middle of a great wild storm.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: إذا هبت أمرا فقع فيه، فإن شدة توقيه أعظم مما تخاف منه.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "When you are afraid of something, dive straight into it, because the intensity of abstaining from it is greater than what you are afraid of."
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what an honor it is to be here humbly speaking about the universal persona of His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So this is probably the last program where we're going to be talking about these really interesting instances from the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, in which His Eminence was destroying the great idols of the Meccan polytheists. And of course, we are taking, you know, very small, beautiful, interesting lessons from these instances of the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and trying to connect them to his universal persona as well. So in this instance, we find that this is the more famous instance of Imam Ali alayhi salam destroying idols. So when the Holy Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi led the conquest of the city of Mecca, which was, of course, a peaceful conquest because at least 10,000 people had come with His Eminence. And how very different is this from the night migration where His Eminence, the Holy Prophet, had to secretly leave the city of Mecca because they were going to assassinate him. And here we find that years later he is coming back to the city of Mecca with 10,000 people at least who are supporting him and who are willing to fight for him and defend him. And he ends up peacefully conquering this city. So when this conquest was going to happen in that time frame, there were more than 300 idols that were positioned just on the roof of the Holy Kaaba. And so we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he climbed up upon the shoulders of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings upon him, and he uprooted all of these idols and he threw all of them to the ground, including a major idol by the name of Hubal, which was actually worshipped by Abu Sufyan. So, you know, just to kind of put everything into perspective, whether it is idols that are within ourselves, whether it is idols manifested in the, you know, in the face of arrogant powers, or whether it is, you know, idols such as fame and wealth and status, or whether it is idols in the shape of sports stars or musicians or actors or the different kind of, you know, idols that are put forth for human beings to worship in one way or the other. We have to fight these idols. We have to break these idols. We have to break ourselves from these idols. That is really what is going on, you know. We're not saying go and break, you know, certain actors. No, we have to break our concept of that individual being an idol. When we break that concept of that individual being an idol, we have already broken that idol, metaphorically speaking. So, but the more we worship, quote-unquote, that idol within ourselves or outside ourselves, the more we strengthen that idol. But the minute that we stop worshiping that idol, we have broken that idol, at least for ourselves, and then we help others to break that idol. You know, one last thing, of course, even though we've run out of time, destroying Hubal, which was the idol that was worshipped by Abu Sufyan, would incur the wrath and the deadly enmity of Abu Sufyan, and it did. You see that the generations and the children of Abu Sufyan, Muawiyah and Yazid, they had a deadly enmity with the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. But this deadly enmity should never make us fearful of doing what is our duty and our obligation and our responsibility. A very interesting lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
This moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma
فاستجب دعائي واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master, and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء قدير.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 3 of the Quran in verse number 33 makes an announcement where he says inna Allah astafa, verily God has chosen Adam and then Nuh and then the family of Abraham, and then Imran, alal alameen, over the rest of the people in the world. When you look at this verse of the Quran, you come to realize that all human beings have been created by Almighty God, but they are not equal in the eyes of God. As far as their status is concerned, you know, when it comes to the prophets of God, the messengers of God, those who represent Him, in conveying his message, they are at a higher, you know, status than other human beings. I would like to take this opportunity to actually talk about the special status that God has given to Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. Let me go to the issue of, you know, tathir. Tathir means the issue of, you know, infallibility and purity of the Ahlul Bayt. We know the verse of the Quran where Almighty God declared the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, to be pure and to be infallible. But this is not only the issue of spirituality. You know, that quality that God has given to them, sometimes it is so powerful that you will see even on physical dimension, the rules will change for them. And let me, you know, give you an example here, relating it with the event about the Ahlul Bayt. For example, you look at space or place. Not every place is equally sacred. You know, let's start with our own musalla, the prayer rug that we use at home. Normally people fix one area in their room, you know, where they would put their prayer rug, the musalla, to do their daily prayers. In your house, it is your house. Every area, every space there is equal. But once you start praying in that particular spot in your bedroom or your living room, whatever place you are dedicated for your daily prayers, gradually that space acquired the sacredness which is not there in the other parts of your home. And this is not only a symbolic statement. You know, in our religious teachings we are told that when a person is going through the last stages of life, when they are going through agony of death, and if you see they are kind of suffering during that moment, if they want to seek relief,
you know, place that person in the place where he was doing the prayers on the musalla or the area of musalla. That will help that individual to go through this, you know, process of death. And so it means that that space itself acquires a sacredness and it has an impact on individuals in that way. That area in your home with the mosque in your neighborhood, which will be more sacred? Of course, the mosque, the masjid in your neighborhood would be more sacred. Then compare that, you know, local masajid in different neighborhoods to the major mosque in the region, which is known as the Jami Masjid, where Friday prayers are held in large congregation. That Jami Masjid becomes more sacred than other neighborhood, you know, mosques. And then on a global level, you know, if you look at the mosque which is there in Mecca, known as Masjid al-Haram, that is considered to be the holiest spot for us on this earth. God is everywhere. You know, technically, I can stand and pray in whatever direction I want. But according to the religious laws, we are told that, yes, God is everywhere. But for your prayers to be valid, you must stand up facing the direction towards the mosque in Mecca. Why? Because that direction acquires its own sanctity and sacredness because of that place known as Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. And then there are other great mosques around the world. You know, after Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, you look at the mosque in Medina, the Prophet's mosque known as Masjid al-Nabi. That is second in importance as far as sacredness is concerned. Then you have this mosque in Iraq, in Kufa, known as Masjid al-Kufa. That is, you know, after the Masjid al-Nabi. And then finally, among the major masajid around the world, you have this Masjid al-Aqsa, which is in Jerusalem. And so although they are all masjid, places of worship, but not all mosques are equal in status.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Giving my tears in plea, forgive me. Streets of my Rasul, he is my love, please let me be.
Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city.
It doesn't matter how old you are, games are an integral part of human life. Games are one of the most important adventures in our lives because of our desire for excitement and challenge. Many believe that games play an important role in children's understanding of life. But do all games have this advantage? There are more than 100,000 board games in the world. These games only require a few pieces of paper, a couple of dice, and sometimes a table.
Board games give people the opportunity to sit around a table, look at each other face to face, and actually enjoy each other.
In many cafes around the world, people of different ages gather together to play a board game. These board games may not be worthy in case of people's understanding of life, unlike physical games, but they can reveal some secrets of life to us.
I played games with my family growing up. We didn't have a TV, which I know is a shock and horror to the world, but it made us play more, do more things together.
Since then, Walt Disney has become the largest animation producer in the world. And this film company has made a huge profit by making dozens of memorable cartoons. This process continued after Disney's death in 1966, but an important event took place in 1995. While nearly 70 years have passed since the production of Disney's traditional 2D animations, and a year before the animation of The Lion King was able to sell more than $430 million at the box office and receive an Oscar award, a 3D animation challenged Walt Disney's dreams. Toy Story was produced by Pixar and under Steve Jobs' supervision. This animation attracted all the viewers. It must be mentioned that Pixar wasn't a very famous company at that time, so Pixar became a serious competitor for Walt Disney. However, Walt Disney executives decided to be in charge of the release of Toy Story in cinemas exclusively. Walt Disney's partnership with Pixar continued until 2006. The more important thing is that there are no more competitors. Just like Monopoly board game, Walt Disney rolls the dice like a winner in this game. The rest of the players have to continue playing and pay their rent.
Today, the Justice Department's antitrust division approved a huge purchase. Disney is buying up most of 21st Century Fox's assets. This is a $71 billion deal. The decision comes after Disney upped its offer this morning for Fox's movie studio, sports networks, and cable channels.
In Monopoly board game, one player precedes the others and starts to purchase houses and hotels. This process reaches a point that this player's properties become so big. From then on, whenever he rolls the dice, one of the players goes bankrupt. Finally, after a few rounds of the game, everyone is forced to sell his property to the monopolist and say goodbye to the competition. No one has committed a crime, and apparently everything is legal. Throughout the game, everyone competes fairly. The result of the game is the formation of a monopoly. During the Cold War and even after the collapse of the Soviet Union, there was a difference of opinion between the supporters of the socialist and capitalist economy, and they had to deal with this question: which system is better for people? In socialist system, there is no competition between factories, and there is not supposed to be any better one. In this situation, the consumer is always harmed by the low quality of the products. In the capitalist system, competition is the main issue. In this situation, everyone should try hard to produce a better product at a lower price and take over the market. It seems that consumers always win in this market, although this is only the appearance of this economy. But behind the scenes of the capitalist economy, they are the owners of the companies who get the main profit. In capitalism, not everyone is supposed to be the boss, and there are only a few big bosses, and everyone else works for them. When we talk about Japan, we think about technology, audio, and video equipment. We also think about streets with large screens and high-speed internet, and also people who are always busy with their cell phones. But in Japan, apart from IT and high-tech products, other things are also made, which have a history richer than such products. YKK has been producing zippers since 1934. This Japanese company produces more than 7 billion zippers in different types every year and owns almost half of the world market. Zippers may be considered an unimportant commodity for many of us, and it is better to mention another example to understand monopoly better. This example takes us to Milan in Italy. This city is famous for fashion and expensive clothes. Milan reminds us of its two football clubs and the San Siro Stadium. However, Milan is the monopolistic center of sunglasses in the world. Luxottica designs and then retails more than 80% of all sunglasses brands in the world. Luxottica designs all kinds of brands such as Ray-Ban, Oakley, Prada, and Versace. Of course, people around the world do not know the reality and think that each pair of these glasses are made in different countries. However, it may not matter much to the people of the world who makes zippers and sunglasses. But it is definitely important who provides the food we need. Tyson is one of these companies that focuses on the supply and distribution of meat in the United States of America. Approximately 25% of the white and red meat of the United States is sold by this company. Tyson is so big that accusations against it have never reached any results. In 2017, it became known that this company uses a kind of antibiotic in the diet of chickens. In the beginning, this story went viral in social media and news agencies. But after only a few weeks, everything returned to normal and nobody followed the issue anymore. It is not in anyone's interest to fall out with Tyson. In fact, in today's world, apart from well-known tech giants such as Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and Amazon, whose monopolies have been in the headlines for a long time, simpler products such as zippers, glasses, meat, and many other ones are only made by one or more large companies. This is why no one can fall out with them. But monopoly is not seen only in the market of consumer products. This phenomenon occurs behind very obvious events every day in front of the eyes of millions of viewers. The miracle of Camp Nou in 1999 changed many things in the world of football. Until then, many of us had not heard the word comeback. We didn't know the value of the final seconds until Teddy Sheringham and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scored against Bayern Munich. It was from that moment that the Bavarians realized that they had to change their minds about football. Since that year, Bayern Munich has won 16 of the 21 Bundesliga seasons. This famous football club received these titles like drinking a glass of water. In the 80s and 90s, Germans allowed football stars like Jürgen Klinsmann, Lothar Matthäus, and Andreas Brehme to play in foreign football clubs. From 2000 onwards, Bayern Munich did not allow any team to think about recruiting German stars. By spending huge amounts of money in each football season, the CEOs of Bayern Munich chose only the best players of the other teams and did not think about picking and training new talents. It wasn't long before all the teams in Bundesliga were competing for the second place in the table. They knew that with good results, their players would go to Bayern Munich with tempting offers. The CEOs of Bayern Munich believed that you should score so many goals against a weak team that they forget about playing football again. UEFA's financial fair play rules were approved in 2010. One of the main goals of these rules was to prevent monopoly in football. According to this law, clubs do not have the right to spend more money than their income, and this prevents the injection of excessive financial resources or financial doping. However, many critics believe that UEFA's financial fair play not only does not break the monopoly of big football powers, but on the contrary, it is a tool in the hands of the old clubs to stand against the newly emerging and wealthy powers such as Paris Saint-Germain FC and Manchester City FC. These types of events in the world of football happen in Monopoly board game too. In this game, an experienced player plays with some inexperienced children and defeats everyone at the very beginning. Will these children play Monopoly again? Working on computer and surfing the net, you may not ask yourself why internet browsers are free. You probably think that free internet browsers show the benevolence and generosity of tech companies and even people like Bill Gates. But behind the scenes of these seemingly simple events, complex actions take place.
Netscape Navigator, software which makes it easy for people to connect the global computer network called the internet.
Netscape Navigator was the king of web browsers at the time. But there was a downside. You had to pay for